This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
To see if I still feel, I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real. The needle.
Come on, guys. I can't hear anything here, Bear. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
You can hear me?
You're on.
Oh, there we go. That's weird. All right. Try to kill it. It's like, that seems apropos. That's a good way to start. Welcome in to the Drive / Voluntary Reaction. All right, come on, guys. Turn those frowns upside down. It's not that bad. This is one of the best seasons in Tennessee baseball history. This was a magical ride.
Can we turn the TV off, please? Because I'm getting ready to throw my water bottle through it if I have to look at those
jerks
in Texas. We need to make that announcement. This is not app only.
Thank you.
Sports fans. Yes.
We are on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM here in Knoxville, streaming online. The usual places. It is the Drive / Voluntary Reaction. I'm Russell Smith. Bear is here. Rick Butler is here. Matt Huckaba is here. And we're going to roll for a while. I don't know how long we're going to go here, but we'll break it down for you today. Tennessee falls to Texas 8-4 at the College World Series, 2-done for the Volunteers. And so ends a magical ride. Conflicting emotions, man. I mean, this sucked. It was not what any of us had in mind. I really feel for the Vol fans who traveled all the way out there. We vacillated here on the drive back and forth. Should we go? Should we not go? I feel today vindicated for not going. That's going to be a long trail of tears back home, especially for those who drove. But I do think that it is important to have some perspective. This is one of the four best seasons in Tennessee baseball history. This was not a place we expected to be, even talking about Tennessee baseball at the beginning of the year when football was crumbling and our basketball season didn't go the way we wanted to go. Tony Vitello and this baseball team has given us something to talk about and something to get behind and something to provide some fun and entertainment and enthusiasm for a fan base that needed it. And though it ends disappointingly, and we drink this afternoon from the keg of despair, we were one of eight teams left standing. Only eight teams get to go to Omaha. We were one of them.
We the first one out?
No.
No.
That would be Arizona.
Wow, I can't believe Arizona's out.
So, I mean, we're among the first two out, and it stings. We did not play well. I think that people could have stomached not winning a national championship, but it feels like we really didn't show up in game one, and it feels like today wasn't our best effort either.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to give it to John Reed, who we watched the game with in here, and he said it exactly right. It's a stinging feeling when you feel like they just kind of crawled to the finish line. And you're right, man. This, to take away nothing from an incredible season, one of the most fun sports seasons that any of us Tennessee fans have had in a long time. But the ending, just the crawl to the finish line, it just kind of stings in the moment.
Oh, we thought that we were going to go to Omaha, and if we went down, we were going to go down swinging. It didn't feel like we went down swinging. I mean, quite literally, we went down looking at times. So many called strike threes And look, I know we're going to talk about the umpiring. I understand Don from Sweetwater has been on hold since the bottom of the third inning. The umpiring, as terrible as it was, didn't lose us this game today. It certainly didn't lose us the first game.
It damn well didn't help for us. What are you doing over there? Don't act like those clowns didn't impose their will.
It wasn't good, but it didn't lose us the game.
We'll never know because it would have been 5-4 if he'd made the right call at home plate. That guy didn't score.
We'll never know because we didn't show up. We didn't have it was a total systemic failure. We didn't hit. We didn't pitch. I think there's some managerial decisions that, quite frankly, can be second-guessed. And I think that the umpiring today was atrocious. I mean, yeah, he blew a call at the plate.
I mean, not just that. The first warning they gave to Texas's coach pitching coach Ferrari, I mean, they were way too, you know, going off on worrying about the dugouts and then that blown call at home plate. Just the overall tenor. I mean, this guy's up there with Alameda Matthews.
It's frustrating, man, and you know there's plenty of blame to go around. But Tennessee, I feel like the moment, quite frankly, too big for the team, for the squad, players, coaches alike. I don't feel like they rose to the occasion. Now it's gonna be interesting to see what happens here in the next 24-48 hours with Tony Vitello. I would hope that his situation can be resolved quickly, one way or the other. I mean, obviously, he's available now if LSU or anybody else wants to talk to him. And the whole let it play out as long as you possibly can to maximize your leverage thing, well, it's played out. I mean, it's over now, so he's got a decision to make. I believe he's got an excellent contract in front of him that'll make him one of the highest-paid coaches in the game and essentially give him a blank check for the facility improvements that he wants. He's gotten everything that he wanted. Now it's time to sign it, and I hope that – I mean, if he's truly all in, I mean, why not just go ahead and announce it now in your post-game press conference? It'll be interesting to see if he's asked about it. But if
– You know he will be.
If he doesn't say anything about it, I would hope that the next 24-48 hours we get a resolution on that one way or the other. Look, this was the beginning of what should be a special thing for the Tennessee fan base, for the university, and for the athletics department. We have a baseball program now. We didn't up until just a couple of months ago. And now there's big demand for it. I don't think it's, like Rusty Enzer said, it's never going to be like this again as far as this season. This was kind of a magical season. But now there's going to be expectations. The stadium's going to be bigger. There's going to be more talk about it. And it'll be interesting to see how Vitello adjusts. But I think all in all, it's a good thing. You went back to Omaha, and now it's what do you do to take the next step? What do you do to get back to Omaha and take it further and have some success here? Look at the teams that have had success and what was the common denominator there that we didn't do, and how can we fix that going forward so that the next time we get here, it's not two and done and we're left here just feeling the season just abruptly vanished on us.
I mean, right off the bat, I would think that we're going to have to beef up our bullpen. And then we'll be getting, what's his name, Leith? The kid who got hurt at the beginning of the year.
Is he coming back? I just assumed he was gone.
What year was he?
I think he was a senior. I thought he could have gone last year. I don't think he's coming back.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're going to have to replace some key pieces on this team.
You would think that recruiting would be at an all-time high with Vitello and the facility.
But didn't we get a commit the other day?
Yeah,
one of the best players in the country, and then there's one of the top players, and I think it's 2023, is moving to Knoxville, and will be playing finishing out his high school baseball career at Farragut.
Yeah, I know that we talked about one of the top-ranked junior college players in the country. He committed to Tennessee, but, I mean, Russell, to me, it starts and it ends your conversation with Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
Like, your conversation.
That's the first domino that has to fall.
It goes completely different, one way or the other, no matter what happens with that, and that has to happen first. If that happens, then yes, we are back on the road to Omaha, recruiting, player development, so on and so forth. If not, we're looking at a whole nother story to open.
Can't let him walk, man. I mean, you just, this fan base,
they can't take it. Well, that's how they can pull everybody out of this tailspin we're in emotionally right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you get to, like we've been talking about, have the Vitello staying press release and press conference, and you announce a new deal and some stadium improvements, that'll be salve on this open wound that's bleeding out a little bit today. I mean, people will be able to feel good about it, and then it'll be time for football season, I guess. about a week left in June or July, and SEC Media Days, and, well, you know the drill. Let's talk about it. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Again, this is not pure voluntary reaction. We do have some financial obligations, weekday programming here. We appreciate our sponsors that we're going to be hearing from, and we ask you to please keep it clean this afternoon. I'm not kidding, Rick. Please. I know that we've been doing the thing, and if you listen to voluntary reaction, there's the occasional S-bomb, and perhaps worse at times. We can't have that today. So please, on your best behavior, we don't have to run and ban anybody today. All right, we'll talk real quickly. Let's just get this out here. Peyton Manning. We have to have a conversation here?
No, let's go to the phones. Why are you going to do this? You got everybody all lathered up. We got a phone call waiting. The guy's been waiting for a while.
The phones will be there.
And then you want to tear ass into the greatest athlete that ever played at the university?
No, I don't.
It's not Peyton's fault. It's not Peyton's fault that Coach decided to pull Tidwell after the third inning with 54 pitches. There, I said it. I mean, I'm not going to rip him like I would Butch or Pruitt or any of the rest of those idiots because he's a good coach.
Rick, do we have to have an uncomfortable conversation about Peyton?
I'm actually a bear here. Totally honest. I don't care if Peyton's there. I don't care if Todd Helton's there. I don't care who's there. The game was on the field. Like, Tennessee had three players on base with no outs. It's not anybody's fault. But right there on the diamond. Look, I know the Peyton thing. We can go back, and it's good, right? It is kind of coincidental. But to me, it's just like,
I'm not getting the issue I want to focus on. No, I mean, I've just gotten a text saying, give us phone calls. We need to ease our pain.
Okay.
What do you think? I know.
Typically, that's how I feel.
Okay.
I'm not a superstitious person.
But
damn it if he's not always there for some sort of debacle, man. I mean, it's to the point where they should. And again, Peyton Manning, my favorite football player of all time. I love the guy. I love him, man. But it's getting to the point where they show him on TV at these games, and I have like this negative reaction, like in my stomach. It's like,
I've got a rebuttal to your argument, Russ. It ain't G.D. Payton's fault that Huntley gave up six effing runs in two MFing innings.
Okay. I say this as much for Bear as I do the listening audience.
We are on the
radio.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, I just worry about you sometimes.
Dude, nobody has more self-control than I do. Honestly. I mean, you look as far as on the radio.
You feeling all right, buddy?
No, you can tell everybody, like, as soon as this mic turns off, every word out of my mouth is what? Usually an F-bomb, right? Or worse. Have you guys ever met anybody that can cuss better than me?
I will say, yesterday, Bear muted the entire show for like 10 seconds just so he could.
I was sweating a little on the back of my neck.
Checking the podcast to make sure. All right, nothing's coming through.
Well, no, I mean, if you can hear the speaker, the mics aren't on.
All right, I just, for all of our sakes, let's
Keep it clean today, guys. I'm not one of the people that works at this station that's ever dropped one online.
Remember the Matt Jones incident at National RX on location.
It did not make it two tape. You couldn't hear it. So, okay. I mean, do we want to go over your bad ones?
No. No.
I mean, the only one who gets a pass is poor John when he slammed his finger in that heavy door. All right.
Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get up with us. And we start with the mayor of South Knoxville. Phil, good afternoon. You're on the drive.
How are you doing, W?
Billy!
How are you, Mayor in Fableston?
Picking up the pieces, Phil. Picking up the pieces.
Well, Tank's very upset with the Peyton Manning bashing going on in the studio there. It's kind of a
Who's bashing Peyton Manning? We all three said, no, it's not his fault.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I say. We all, none of us bash Peyton Manning. I swear, you guys, the legions of the miserable, you hear what you want to hear. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm surprised we didn't get a $50 million stadium after today, you know? Guys all lost it. We were beat by a better team today. They have more talent than we do. We got deficiencies that Virginia showed. And our catching situation, along with Vitalis handling that pitching staff today, lost that game.
It's odd, right? I mean, it just felt like everybody, players and coaches, did things that were not part of their pattern for the season. And Vitello is a guy that we've talked about it the past couple of months, is usually errs on the side of leaving the starting pitcher in too long, right?
Yeah.
And then you pull him after three innings. I believe he had, 54 pitches or whatever the count was. And that was right after the double play, right? The debacle in the third. And
correct.
I mean, it just felt like it was. I know that it was getting hit around a little bit. I say it's the fourth inning, man. Just trot him back out there. If he gives up a hit or two, by all means, go ahead and yank him. But it seemed way early to be taking him out.
Yeah, they only scored one run in the third. I really felt like they had more time to leave him in.
Well, all I lost is four walks killed him today. Every one of those walks scored a run today, and
one of them didn't.
It's a shame, you know, but we just haven't showed up. The series, we didn't hit with no home runs from the fourth best home run hitting team in America. Texas had better pitching than we did, and that's one reason we got beat.
I mean, their bullpen was definitely a lot better.
Yeah, Hundley.
We lost
Hundley
the game
not
two double plays.
Hundley not being able to go a full inning was so surprisingly uncharacteristic. I mean, they could not leave him in for a full inning, and that is not what you wanted when he was the first guy that you brought out your starter for early.
Just
to bring in a guy who should be great, but couldn't even go an inning.
But he got torched against Virginia too. So
yes, he did.
Exactly.
That would have made me even a little bit more leery of taking Tidwell out today, is knowing that the last time we saw Hundley out there, he got rocked.
Yeah.
So, Phil, that double play in the third inning was the most it might be the most deflating baseball play I've ever seen. I mean, it felt like
it
felt like they hit a grand slam against us. It was it took three or four innings to even recover from that, if we did at all. I mean, that might have been just ball game right there.
He's got to recruit. It's evident that Texas has more talent than we do. Vitalo's got the number one thing he's got to do is get more starting pitching, and they got to get a reliever, and they need to get one stud great player, which they don't have on that roster right now.
Yeah. Again, you would think that this would be a much better situation to recruit to after this season.
Yeah.
So
it should. I mean, you got us to the tournament, and I guess when you get reality hits gold, it is what it is. I mean, pitching beats hitting, and we don't have the pitching.
No.
Our best pitcher went three innings today.
Got to get some more pitching for sure. And look, we lose a lot. We're going to have to replace our entire infield. Both catchers, I believe, are gone.
We need a catcher.
So we lose a lot. of production, and it's going to have to be replaced. I mean, there's a good chance that we're not going to be as good next year as we are. But I think long term, if this guy is here, you have every reason to feel bullish about the future of Tennessee baseball for a long time to come.
One more thing. There's no way I'd pay $2 million for Tony Vitello, though. See?
And just let him walk?
I got to tell you, when everything happened, what was that, in the fourth inning, maybe the fifth inning or so, when Tennessee's assistant coach got ejected?
Ugh.
Right, and the announcer started it out by screaming, "I think it's Vitello,"
yeah,
like in the middle of a replay.
Yeah.
And you were just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
And then they eventually got to him. That was the single-handed most amped up I had been all game. And it was by far. So, I you know what? And Tony Vitello kind of fed into that a little bit. When he was going out there, he was yelling at people. There were coaches all – it was chaos for a couple minutes. I love Tony Vitello in that moment. I love that he was being a little bit instigative. I love that they were trying to be a little bit aggressive in that moment, because you could tell that in those two games collectively, Tennessee just did not have any aggression, no momentum, no fire to their game.
Well, they said – so it was the bottom of the fourth when all hell broke loose.
Okay.
They bring
so
in Hundley, and then Ross Kivett gets thrown out by the third base umpire.
Yeah, for
– and that's when they thought that they had thrown out Vitello. And it was actually Ross Kivett, the first base coach, who is a known hothead. But he apparently just slapped the thing, and then they threw him out. Then he threw the binder
right
over. It's whatever. But, I mean, it's just way too – I mean, TV Ted – thinks that was sticking your neck way too far out there for an official. And so he stays in there, and then you have the bad call at the plate. And after that, they go down to Chris Budden, and she's talking about how fired up the dugout is. Tennessee players are into it. And we had the top of the order up, too.
Right.
Because remember, previously Pavlone got the last out, I believe, and Tennessee comes up in the fifth. And you're all this momentum, and you're thinking, okay, here we go. One, two, three. And that was so long, that crazy bottom of the fourth, it felt like we were in the field for well over half an hour. And then you come in the top of the fifth, and we had a couple of first pitch swing, you know, outs. And, I mean, that it took like 5 minutes, and then, boom, you're right back in the field. That felt like another major missed opportunity as well.
Are you talking about when it looked like the inning was over and then they had to replay the – so we got two runs, and I believe it was in that bottom of the fourth inning, and that was supposed to be big. It felt like we were going to get a little bit of momentum,
yeah,
and then they went back to review the play at first, and by the time that the team got back out on the field, it was just like, man, it feels like this game is dead again, because it took so long to kind of go through that replay, which ended up just being an out again.
It was, it was just so many frustrating moments, and we didn't respond to them well either is the thing. And you would think a team that's kind of shown so much grit and determination throughout the season would respond to those situations where they're challenged, and we just didn't, man, in either game. So, hey. Learning experience. We'll see if they can bounce back. 865-546-8200. Who's next, Bear?
Got open lines right now, Russ.
Oh. Come on, Vol Nation. You're not just going to fold up and go home on us, are you?
There is some background. I'm interested to see if this is true. The third base umpire, Mike Morris, and Tennessee's assistant, Ross Kivett, apparently have some history, Russ.
Oh.
Really?
Wow.
Going back to when Kivett was playing at Kansas State, Morris was an umpire in the Big 12.
Of course he was.
Mike Morris was looking for a reason to throw Kivett out and make the game about himself.
Mike Morris. I mean, that just sounds...
This crew has a history of...
being jerks.
Making the
being
game.
Bad at their jobs.
Interjecting themselves into the game, a la TV Teddy. Although, at least TV Teddy's actually a pretty decent... ref.
Oh, these college umps are hysterical, man. These are the kind of dudes, I mean, they are all like 5'4", 180-pound, just balls of raging insecurity, right? I mean, these are the dudes that were always having their girlfriends stolen by guys like Tony Vitello in high school and college. I mean, just dorks.
And yeah, so, I mean, guys like Kivett and Drew Gilbert probably stuffed this guy in a locker.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they've been waiting 20 years, these guys. They're all middle-aged, balding, like short, Napoleon syndrome, little guys, little men.
Yep.
Who've never pleased a woman before, and this is their chance. This is their chance to run something, to show they're a big man.
They want to feel powerful.
They want to feel power. They've got some power over the cool guys for once, over the Tony Vitellos and Drew Gilberts. Finally, they're running the show. They're making the rules. And, oh, they love to stick their chest out. Never mind the fact they have no consistency in strike zones. They miss calls on the base path routinely. Guys over at third base, over 100 feet away, and our guy smacks the side of the dugout because dude missed another call at the plate, the home plate umpire did, and now third base guy wants to run in and throw him out of the game. He's like, dude, who are you? What are you doing? Nobody cares. Nobody knows who you are. Recede into the background and know your role. What are you doing? This is the College World Series. This is Tennessee and Texas. We're playing for a national championship here, buddy.
Yeah.
So stand over there and watch third base and do your job. Don't worry about what's going on.
You saw it going all the way back to the regionals. And we've got cast-off umpires from – I mean, if they got demoted out of Major League Baseball – I mean, for God's sakes, that one guy would, you know, threw Dave Mattingly out of a game. And they've got him umpiring in what's essentially the baseball tournament for the NCAA. It's stupid.
Someone needs to take the rock over. Use the catchphrase, know your role, shut your mouth. How is it that he could look over at our dugout from 120 feet away and make that call? And again, about slamming your hands on the dugout railing. Come on.
It's like, yeah.
What if it wasn't even about the call, right? Maybe it had something to do with the player. Maybe he had told the batter in that moment, hey.
Maybe he's chewing his own guy out.
Yeah. And the third base umpire is going to throw out our own assistant for getting mad at his player for maybe something they had talked about before the game. He didn't know that it was to the ump. He's 120 feet away. Crazy.
Holiday for QB says, I don't really have a problem with pulling Tidwell. He walked or gave up a home run in three of his last four batters, I believe. Can't take any chances with a win or go home. I mean, I get that, but again, I go back to you bring in Sean Hundley, who had just gotten shelled against Virginia, and I don't know that there's any reason to be more confident in him. And we've seen Tidwell, his last, four or five outings, he's gone up near 100 pitches. And clearly, in hindsight, it wasn't the right thing to do because Hundley didn't pitch any better than he had been. I mean, look, maybe Tidwell didn't have it today, and you were going to have to pull him anyway. But it just seems so early, man.
Yeah,
to our pen.
This is no doubt by a good amount the lowest amount of pitches that Blade Tidwell has thrown this season in a start. Typically does not go below 70.
Let's go back to the phones. Conrad is next. Hello, Conrad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just picking up the pieces. Another gut punch loss in Big Orange Country. You would think we'd be used to it by now.
You would think, but they just they're hard to get used to.
Yep.
They're hard to get used to for sure. Hey, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering, do you think this team just had kind of the it factor that got them to Omaha? Or do you think, we'll have a chance to get back next year? Or where do you guys see us, like, in the future, assuming Tony D doesn't get on a plane and go to Baton Rouge after this one has ended?
I mean, I think the future is tremendously bright with Tony Vitello as our baseball coach. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're not going to Omaha. Nobody goes to Omaha every year, right? I mean, that just doesn't happen. So the odds on us going to Omaha again next year are pretty low. But the odds on us, if Vitello stays throughout his 40s, he's 42, if he stays for the next 10 years, the odds are that I would say you probably go back at least once, if not a couple of times. So, I mean, I think he's got a chance to build something special and really be a unique character as opposed to just following in the footsteps of Skip Bertman or whatever. I think he's got a chance to be a Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban type figure in his sport and build it here at Knoxville. So, no, I would be stunned if the program fell off drastically. I think he's going to do really well here.
Right. I hope so, too. I mean, I've heard people compare this run that the baseball team went on this year to the Preds run a couple years ago in the playoffs, and they've kind of not really gotten back to that spot yet. So I was just kind of, you know, that's my biggest fear is that we, you know, this is just a special season, and, you know, it'll be hard to get back there. But like you said, I don't think Tony V's going to go anywhere, per se. But, you know, it's hard to get to Omaha, just like it's hard to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But, yeah, that's just what my biggest fear is that we struggle to get back there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you don't get to go every year. Rod Delmonico had a really nice 15 or so year run here in Knoxville. He went three times. He went 95, 01, and 05. That's pretty darn good. That's pretty right. Darn good. If you tell me that we're going to go to Omaha three times in the next 10 years, I would take it right now in a heartbeat. I'd like to win some championships. I'd like to win a conference championship. I'd like to win the SEC tournament. And I'd like to go further when we do get to Omaha. But I would be absolutely stunned if this guy doesn't have a lot of success here.
Right. I would be, too. I mean, he's a rock star, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I jumped on the bandwagon. I've kept up with him the last couple of years, but, you know, I really jumped on the bandwagon watching, you know, all the Tuesday night versus Tennessee Tech type games and keeping up with him really closely. But, yeah, I'm excited for the future with him. I hope, you know, my worry factor for him to leave to go to LSU is still really low. You know, I'm with Bear on that. I don't think he's gone anywhere. I think it's LSU is the job. You have to, like you said, entertain the idea. Like, you have to be flattered by the fact that they're reaching out to you, if they are reaching out to him. But I think he's going to stay here. I think the fan base has showed enough support for him to stay here. And, you know, I'm excited for the future. And like you said, if, you know, someone came up to me and said, you can sign this right here and guarantee that you go to Omaha three times in the next 10 years, I believe I'll take that myself. But, all right, I'll get off here. I'll hang up and listen and enjoy y'all's show and keep doing what you do.
Hey, Conrad, great call, my man. I hope you'll call in again in the future. Have a great evening.
Thank you, too.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to get in with us. A special edition of The Drive, and we're going to go past 6 o'clock here. We'll hang out with you for a minute since we didn't start at 3 at the normal time. Not sure how long we're going to go, but we got to work it out of our system.
Sure, but I'm having spaghetti tonight. So
really,
yeah.
Where from?
I'm making it.
Oh, you got the like tomato sauce? You're going with Alfredo sauce?
You brown the meat, you dump in the jar, and then you make your noodles and you slam it all in the pan.
There you go, ragu.
No.
What kind of sauce you use?
I can't remember what the name of it is, what the brand is. Some kind of four cheese sauce.
You going to do any sides?
Classico.
Garlic bread?
Comes in that mason-looking jar?
No.
Probably no Texas
toast. No garlic bread?
Trailer park garlic bread.
Yeah. It's like
what I grew up on.
On sliced, sandwich bread and bread. Some hot dog buns. That's the best kind.
Sunbeam white bread, butter, garlic salt.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best kind.
Yeah. If you're feeling a little froggy, you might sprinkle a little mozzarella on it.
Just broiled in the oven? Or?
Hell yeah.
Just go get some garlic bread.
Sometimes if I'm really hungry, you don't even...
Go get a box of garlic bread. What are you doing with this makeshift?
Because you obviously didn't grow up in the park.
It's pretty good, man.
Sometimes all I need is just like...
Well, you guys can go do it now.
You didn't grow up on the mean streets of West Knoxville.
Yeah,
like
what we live in 2021. Well, okay.
Sorry, you didn't have to suffer through...
Mr. Silver Spoon over here. Never had any homemade garlic bread. Yeah. I was the baddest dude on my cul-de-sac, man. Kids don't want to mess with me. See me coming up on my BMX dirt bike and just
turned the other way.
The meanest and the baddest.
I mean, I was
all
one of the
West
bad
Rebels.
Kids at my prep school. But sometimes all you need is just grab you a big handful of that Sunbeam white bread. You don't even have to put it in the oven. You just sop it around in the spaghetti and eat it. Anyhow, I digress.
Let's go back to the phones. Koval is...
Koval better behave himself. Now, I've spoken to him extensively.
He is warming up his Vidal Sassoon hair dryer.
Oh, we haven't confronted him with that yet.
Directly towards his nether regions. We know it's you, Koval.
Yeah, you don't have...
We're not buying this story about your brother anymore. We know it's you blowing that hot air dryer, hair dryer on
your
groin
in your nether regions.
We're on to you, buddy.
I literally just left JCPenney's, cut the check, went and got me a hair dryer.
There is. He's dropping the charade. All right, man. Well, I hope that...
I mean, A for effort, and I mean, I admire the fact that you tried to stick with it. Kind of reminds me of somebody else I know just go down in flames arguing something that Russell knows obviously to be completely fabricated.
Guys, Mayor, I completely agree 100%, and if I thought it immediately when I saw it, that play to play, one, why do we even have freaking replay? Because it was one run versus three is not big. It's a huge deal. And those umps try to make the game about themselves, especially that third base ump, man. I about literally jumped through my TV and wanted to punch that. I think Russell said 5'7", 175 chunk of hunk. It's not his business. Why is he going from, 150 to call out one of our damn coaches in the dugout?
I got little man syndrome, Koval. I mean, like I said earlier, Ross Kiven and Tony Vitello, I mean, they were definitely the dude stuffing these guys in lockers, stealing their dates. I mean, they've been waiting 20 years to get revenge on these guys, and now they got their little blue shirts and their chest protectors and their aviators, and they want to act all big and bad, man. And it's just, it's gross, quite frankly. They suck at their jobs.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, I don't watch MLB. I watched them a long time ago, like early 90s. And, I've been on the Vitello bandwagon last couple years, but, obviously much like everybody else this year. And just to see these guys completely dictate and manipulate the game as it flows is a freaking joke. But anyway, man, the only silver lining is we can stop the Vitello keep going into the CWS. And now it's time to get down to brass tacks. What are we going to do? Is it us, LSU, is the Ball River Mill, just throw it out there.
What's your Major League Baseball source saying, Houston Crest? Call into the drive. I know you're listening. Do it, you coward.
Do it.
I'm just kidding. You're not a coward, Houston. I love you, but seriously, do it.
I reached out to Crest time or two today, and I know he was busy on the Twitter machine.
Busy.
Busy on the Twitter.
Busy on the lake.
Man, supposedly, allegedly. Man, I'll tell you, it was such a fun ride this year. I mean,
yeah.
I hate
and hey.
I even took off like half a day, and I did every time it was like a day game. I think a half a day off. And I've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
The sense of anticipation. Look, the letdown sucked, but the sense of anticipation throughout the day, I think it was special. And once people are able to process their emotions about this defeat and everything, I think they're going to look back on this as a really special time, a special spring in East Tennessee. And we're going to lock this dude down. Tony Vitello asked about the LSU thing moments ago in Omaha, says he has not had any communication with LSU and that his focus has been on his kids. He apparently got teary-eyed and said, quote, "I want to do as good of a job as I can for the school that gave me a chance. That's my number one concern."
You just gave me cold chills, brother. That is awesome.
I feel like it's getting a bit dusty in here.
It's our guy.
It's our guy.
Eat that, Brent
Bears,
Houston. Eat
Bears
it.
Crying.
That's a jam.
Bears crying.
That's a jam right there.
That's a jam for sure.
Did you see Did you see the video that Alex Myers tweeted out earlier from your boys at WBR with him walking through the hotel with the kind of quasi ball walk?
Oh yeah, he said something. Trey just put out a tweet, a quote from his press conference that the Tennessee fans in Omaha giving them an impromptu vol walk this weekend. That really got in Tony's feels, Russ.
I tell you, man, it was. Sorry, Russ, I didn't mean to step on you, but watching him walk through those young little kids and patting them on the head and autographing everybody all the way to the very end, man, that's some dusty stuff, brothers. I mean, that stuff was just incredible. I know we lost, whatever. We got screwed, but whatever. It was awesome. You guys need to check that out, and I'm sure it's all over social media, whatever your platform is. But yeah, it's good stuff, man. You see that, you know, a coach is really probably not really wanting to go in. I've been leaning that way, just like you guys have been all along. The elevation meter has been going up with Russ, and I'm kind of with you, but I think, man, he feels the love, and he just got it rolling.
He does, man. He's got it rolling like your brand new hair dryer tonight, blasting on high, right on the Olsen twins. Thank you, Koval. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks, boys.
All right, now Huck, you're saying you're reading something into this quote that didn't strike me. When I first read it, what are your thoughts on Vitello talking about he hasn't had any contact with LSU?
Yeah, that makes me just a tad nervous because he didn't say I have no interest. He just said I haven't heard from them. So would he take the job? I don't know. It just seems open-ended to me.
Come on, Huck. The man is sitting there crying at the podium.
I understand.
And you're going to come at him like this?
I'm not coming at him.
He'd be happier with Houston on three and out then.
Hold on. He's raising an interesting point. He did not deny any interest in the job.
He didn't deny any interest whatsoever. So
you guys are so traumatized.
Maybe that's true. I am traumatized.
How could you not be?
That's all I've known. I'm only 23. That's
all
I've seen.
I'm taking it. What he's always shown us is that he's a hell of a guy. He's a class act. He's not Lane Kiffin. I don't think he's leaving. You guys need to get over your trauma.
Would have been nice if he just said, I'm a Vol.
I know.
That's what I wanted.
He's got the contract. You know he's looked over it. He knows exactly. Like, why not just come out and say, yeah, I'm signing the deal. We're going to get something done.
That's what makes me nervous. There was no sign of that. He just said, I haven't heard from them. But I understand it's a business thing. He probably just wants more money. I get it.
Hakaba.
Think it's about the money? You think both schools are offering absurd contracts?
Well, I mean, Phil said he wouldn't give him $2 million. We just let him walk? If LSU said – our offer is reportedly 1.6. If LSU says we'll give you two, we're going to let him walk over 400 grand, a school that just gave Kevin Steele $900,000 for 12 weeks – for not even 12, what, 4 weeks of work. We're going to let –
I mean,
we've
given Philip Fulmer multiple gazillion-dollar buyouts after he flamed out.
Do you know who the highest-paid baseball coach is in the NCAA?
I'd say
Corbin.
Supposedly Corbin.
And how much?
Like 2.5 or something.
I'd give him
2.5.
In my lifetime, I've never heard of Tennessee baseball being even remotely inept or good at their job, rather. Serrano, I went to games that were $5, right? Nobody cared. There were like four people in the stands. Why do you not pay the man?
You know, that's kind of what I keep going back and forth on. And, you know, I know that the Tony conversation's not going to dominate our whole show today, but I don't necessarily know if it's going to be – both schools are going to be offering huge amounts of money. But is that going to be enough? Is LSU's offer of – hey, just better facilities and a bigger program and, you know, more widespread support over a longer period of time. Are those going to be the intangibles, if you will, that kind of separates? Because, again, I fully believe that Tennessee and LSU are both offering big, big, big money. There's not much difference there. Could the other stuff kind of outweigh?
Vitello asked about what he'll remember about this team. He says, quote, there's a meme for those who don't like us.
Is that a shout out?
Is that a DX reference?
Is that a two words for you?
That's what my mind goes to.
If you don't like how we've done things, we got two words for you.
Suck it! That's awesome, man.
It is. He's one of us. He represents this Tennessee fan base right now.
He's one of our own. Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline as we go at it commercial free for a little bit here on The Drive / Voluntary Reaction. We celebrate. We mourn the end of the season. It didn't end the way we wanted to, but we celebrate a great team that gave us one hell of a ride, even though it crashed on the side of the highway in Omaha.
And then we crawled out into the field next to the road.
And we're marching on. We're going on. We're going to go on. Westchester, good afternoon. You're on The Drive.
Guys, before I got so much on my mind, I don't even know where to start. Let's start with this. If Tony wants to be here, then he's going to stay, even if LSU offers him two, as long as Tennessee puts that extra $400,000 in renovating the stadium.
Yeah,
he doesn't
want
to be here.
This is way out of my pay grade. I can't imagine being actually faced with this decision. But if I can fantasize for a minute, I would think that if I were making $600,000 a year and I had a $1.6 million a year offer on the table and there was a bidding war for my services, that like the 1.6 and 2, the difference there is not – I mean, an offer – you can't refuse would have to be something like over $3 or $4 million at that point. That's just my feel of it. But again, what do I know? I'm just some schlep scratching out a living at Fan Run Radio.
I just think he has to be honest with himself about the and this is probably going to make some people mad, but the availability of funds for baseball, regardless of the success, you know, he can't, I think he realizes if he demands $2 million that it's got to come from either his assistants or the stadium. So we'll see what happens. I think after those two very flat performances, I do believe that he has gone. I do believe the team knows it. I believe that meeting in the center field after the game was the goodbyes.
Come on, Wes. He's not going to say goodbye to his team on the field 5 minutes after the game's over.
They got
you
a plane ride tomorrow.
No, they already knew. They already knew. He's not even getting on that plane. He's not even taking that plane home.
So you think a team of 25, 18 to 22-year-olds knew that their coach is leaving, which would be one of the biggest scoops in Knoxville sports media recent history, and that they were able to keep that quiet for the past 3-4 days, perhaps longer?
Oh, you're right. This is the first time that's ever happened, right? No coach has ever let his team know that he was leaving beforehand, and they were short. It what? Came off flat, right? That's never happened in the history
We're not going down this rabbit hole.
You're
going to
keep
today,
a secret like that this day and age with 25 plus guys and assistant coaches, trainer, all that stuff.
Let's move on. Let's go move
Three
on.
Three people
the
can real... keep a secret, Westchester, but only if two of them are dead.
Yep.
Let's move on to the real problem today. The real problem today was Houston Kress. All right, and I hope he's listening, and I hope he has the testicular fortitude to call in and defend what he said this morning. Because this morning he told us that Tony Vitello said they were wearing orange today. So in the battle of Tennessee versus the University of Texas and UT versus UT, neither school wore orange? Are you kidding me? We played UT and we couldn't break out the orange jerseys? In the battle,
really, this
UT
is this
versus
is where
UT,
you're going with this.
The battle for the battle for the real orange and the real UT. Are you kidding me? We just both teams just crapped the bed on that today.
Well, they were in there. They were the home team, Westchester. They were in white. Second of all, yo, Kress, an apology. You can't come on here and just bash one of my buddies.
I think our
I think our guys love those smoky grays.
Yeah. Like, the football team does. The basketball team does. They all love it.
They feel it gives them some swagger. So
yeah. But it doesn't make them. It doesn't make them crazy like it does us, because we associate it with Butch Jones.
Unless you're living like Kravets or whatever his name was, the bomber guy in the woods, you're not watching TV on a black and white TV anymore. If there's one sport that could pull off both teams wearing the same color or similar, it's baseball. The players are so differentiated on the field by what they're doing. Tennessee could have worn orange, and Texas could have worn their burnt orange, and it would have been just fine.
I just can't. Yo, Houston didn't say that, man.
He said it this morning. Check the tape.
No, he did. I will.
He said that Tony Vitello said they were wearing orange today. So he quoted Vitello. So it's not necessarily his fault. But he said it this morning on the show.
First of all, I don't think this is that important. But second of all, I think I did hear him say that.
I don't care if he said it or if he didn't. I'm more.
It doesn't matter.
Just stuck on the fact that you're calling him bashing Houston. I don't like it.
Oh, so last week when you were bashing Rush for hanging out too much with Houston, that's okay.
I've had it.
He had a good point. I mean,
he didn't.
A lot of time.
No, he didn't.
You spent because a lot of time
he's forgetting. It's a golden rule. He's one of my brothers. We'll fight amongst ourselves here at Fan Run.
That's a rule?
But
like, you can't bash people, other people at Fan Run? That's a new one to me.
We fight amongst ourselves, but if anybody from the outside comes in and says something about one of you guys, I'll turn on him like a rabid dog.
Give him all knuckle sandwich.
I got somebody recently just started, was out in the community and started just trashing Davey Hudson. I mean, they weren't lying, but I wasn't going to stand there and listen to it. So I told him just to, he need to shut his mouth.
I don't know. When people start bashing Davey Hudson to me, I usually just grin and let them carry on.
That's true.
865-546-8200. Texas today scores 8 runs on 7 hits. That's sink in for a minute. We actually had 2 more hits than they did, 4 less runs.
Wow. That's wild. So I know we left 6 on base, which is lower than other times that Tennessee has just kind of had a couple of disappointing games around that number. But nonetheless, Tennessee leaves on 6, and I believe Texas left on base 4. So there you go. There's 2 more runs you could have had right there.
Missed opportunities. Certainly when do baseball coaches watch film? Do they turn on the film? Of an entire
I guess
game.
It may be pitchers.
Yeah, they do. They watch batters. They're going to watch what kinds of pitches
the
batters swing on. They watch film constantly.
It's probably a lot different, though, than the way football and basketball coaches do. But when they go back and look at the story of today's game and Sunday's game, they will see a lot of missed opportunities and wonder what could have been.
Oh, sure. Absolutely on that.
Pete is next. Hello, Pete.
Hey, guys. I wonder what you think about this. I thought that the umpires' strike zone for both teams in the early innings was extremely narrow. And I thought that was frustrating both of the starting pitchers and the staffs. So I was kind of curious why he pulled Tidwell, who has our best stuff, for Hundley, because Hundley, his expertise is nipping at the corners, and that ump was not giving the corners. Mm. I just thought that was a recipe for disaster.
It's a hell of a point, Pete.
The better advice would have been to say, hey, Blade, this is going to be a 9-10 game. Just you got the best stuff. You just blow it by them as best you can and work in your off-speed pitches to keep them off balance.
Yeah, like somebody earlier said, Tidwell and 3 of his last 4 batters was 2 walks and a homer. So he wasn't exactly cruising. But I'm with you. I mean, I thought they pulled him a little bit too early, and I also questioned the decision to go to Hundley a little bit.
Well, when they brought in Hundley, he threw 4 straight pitches.
Yeah.
2 4-straight walks. I mean, 4-pitch walks. And all the pitches were close. And I think that's what got the coaching staff fired up, because they were really close pitches. But that guy had such a narrow strike zone, he wasn't giving it to them. And then I thought the team got so frustrated and irritated that when their approach to the plate from there on, they quit being patient and taking pitches and taking the walks and became overly aggressive. And I don't know. I thought the umpire was consistent with both teams. I just thought it was a very, very narrow strike zone compared to some of the other games I've watched in the College World Series. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason to these college strike zones. I mean, it's different from one game to the next. The most frustrating thing to me, I don't mind a big strike zone. I actually kind of like it. It's like, yeah, let's make these guys swing the bat. Let's move the game along. And as long as you're consistent, I don't mind a big strike zone. The most frustrating thing to me in college baseball, and we see this every single game, is you'll see a pitch called a strike. That's, you know, right. a borderline is like, I don't know about that one. But, okay, we call it a strike. And then the very next batter, you'll see a pitch located in the exact same spot that they call a ball, and vice versa. And that, to me, is just the worst. When you don't have consistency, no matter what the sport is, you're a football official, basketball, an umpire in baseball, just call it the same both ways all the time.
Yeah. And you know, kind of weirdly enough, looking at the box score right now, Texas had 9 strikeouts in the game. Tennessee only had 3. That should have been an advantage for us. We're putting the ball in play. It's just that every single time it was going to the opposition. And granted, I do want to give a lot of credit to their defense. They made a couple of really good double plays, but that was also a huge, huge bad point for Tennessee today. They hit into a lot of double plays, at least probably 2 to 3. And, man, those are just complete inning killers when you already got one out on the board.
The Gilbert one in the third was just, like I said earlier, it's one of the most demoralizing, deflating plays I've ever seen in any sport. It felt like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but you're thinking, bases loaded, nobody out. All we need is a fly ball. Like, we'll take a run or two in that situation. Bases loaded, nobody out. I think we would all, if you had just said, we're giving you 2 runs. Yeah, we would have loved to have a 4 or 5 run inning, but we all would have taken 2 runs right there. And it's what? It's 3-2. At that point, they just hit the 3-run homer, so it's 3-2. You give me 2 runs, and we go out there leading 4-3 in the bottom of the third. I would have been fine with that. You smash into a double play, and it just sucked all the momentum.
God, not only was it a double play, too, like they got the lead runner at home, and then still got the batter.
Yeah,
like that sucked. If they had just gone maybe 2-1 or 3-2 or something like that, that's still different, because you're saying, you're right, like you still at least get that one run. But they got the leadoff runner. They made an incredible play in the field, and that was just, it took all the wind out of the sails.
It was the old 5-2-3 double play.
Oh, my God.
You see it all the time, right? I mean,
oh,
it's
sure.
Only Tennessee, that's one of those, hey, why are we a traumatized fan base? You ask why we are always waiting for the other shoe to drop. All the time.
Because a 5-2-3 double play is sitting right around the corner.
I'm surprised they didn't flash up to the stands and show that third baseman's quadriplegic grandfather in the, he's a World War II veteran. I can't believe this guy's still alive. And he saved 5 people from a Vietnamese prison camp. And here he is. He stepped on a landmine. And here he is watching his grandson. His great-grandson playing the College World Series. Doctors say he's only got 2 days to live, but, God, he got to see that wonderful play. We all would have been like, yeah, okay. That sounds about right, of course, sure. D.R. Vall is next. What's up, D.R. Vall?
Yeah, everybody's got a Sister Jean we play, don't they, Russ?
Oh man! Well, we don't have to worry about any of that for what we got.
2 months?
Oh, I thought about that coming
July and August.
Now it's just football season on the horizon.
Football season. You know we're not going to a bowl game this year. So, I mean, I guess we'll get excited to see what the Heupel team looks like this fall.
Are you hyped for Heupel?
I'm more.
No.
You're not. I'm not either.
No.
I'm amused that our quarterback of the future's got two more arrests and he's got practices.
Rickory Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Will Caden Salter make it to kickoff with no more arrests?
I talked to somebody last night. I'd be surprised if he'll make it to Monday.
There's no way he stays on the team.
You know, I told the guys this morning, he's like off the field JG. He keeps making mistakes. He doesn't learn his lesson, how JG was on the field. That's what he does off the field.
Well, I mean, he's got big shoes to fill. There's a legacy to carry on.
I mean, Caden Salter, in a perfect world, he'd like for real by blood be my nephew, and he wouldn't be having this problem. I'd have already pinned him up against the wall with my forearm across his throat if I were related to him. He's acting like a complete idiot. I mean,
he got a pass off as a volunteer.
I mean, how long – the first arrest happened while his dad was over at ICU on his deathbed. Intubated.
Oh, he's alive.
I know he pulled through, but I mean at the time he was fully intubated with COVID, and he's out with half the linebacker room beating the hell out of a pot dealer.
That's what kills me, Bear. Like as much as the community's done for his dad, and he goes out and robs.
I mean, I wouldn't even put it like that. It's just disappointing, and you gotta. I don't know. But at the same time, I really feel for the kid because, he's young as hell. He's in a bad spot.
If the only pass he ends up throwing for the Vols is an incomplete weed sack out the back window, that'll be really disappointing.
I don't think he actually threw it out the window, which is just dumb. I mean, the cops are behind you. They're watching. They're waiting for you to throw it out.
Again, that's his off-the-field JG. The quarterback sneak against Bama was dumb. He did that. This is off-the-field JG. Guys, what's a timetable? Because God knows – I felt like Rick was about to say it a few minutes ago. I thought about when this season's over, that means we got to shift to football, and I'm just not ready for that.
Yeah.
When do y'all think end of the week, end of next week, we'll hear about Tony V?
I mean, he's already got – the offer on the table, and I can't imagine that if you're going to talk to LSU, you can talk to them tonight or tomorrow. You make a decision there pretty quickly. I would think that we'd have a decision in the next 24, 48 hours, certainly by the end of the week.
Y'all going to say if he does it, well, I guess today is Tuesday. If he does it like on a Thursday, is it going to be a reactionary show for y'all if it's late in the night, like a Shiano Sunday, or how's that going to go?
If he leaves?
Yeah.
Imagine it'll be Huck and Russ down here.
Because it's going to be a meltdown. I mean, this guy's made me a fan. He's baseball Bruce Pearl for me, and I'm not going to handle it well. It's going to break my heart.
Oh, it will be another kick in the balls, for sure. I mean, it's
this will be even worse. I swear to God, it's going to be worse than Bruce, and it would be worse than Bruce and Lane put together. Because he's not the trashy girlfriend that they represented that you just love to hang out with, you know.
Yeah, I remember that night well when Lane left. I was just hoping we'd get a resolution on it because. Man, what a special season, and hat tip to the team. And hat tip to y'all. I mean, y'all had Tony V on before it was cool.
Russell wanted to know who the hell he was, so Trey booked him.
That's true. Well, guys, y'all have a good rest of your night. See you.
You too, DR Vol. Appreciate it. This tweet from former Vol Chris Walker kind of sums it up. Win the SEC East, check. Host a regional, check. Win the regional, check. Host a super, check. Win the super, check. Make it to Omaha, check. Win 50 games, check. Pretty successful year, if you ask me. Like I said earlier, only 8 teams get to go to Omaha. Tennessee was one of them. Nobody was predicting that at the beginning. It is not something we talked about seriously at all until maybe after the LSU series, regular season, that was about the halfway point of the season. And think about what a ride it's been since then, man. And he talks about football. And listen, we'll get into football. There's time for that. And we'll begin that transition, not immediately, but eventually. But think about what the, for just selfishly, our job, what the tone of the message boards, what the tone of all Twitter would have been the past couple of months if not for this baseball team and this run that they went on. What would we be talking about?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Russell, I know that you guys have way more memories to choose from in the memory bank, but for a lot of us Tennessee fans who might have just recently gone to school or recently gotten out of school, man, this was the run for us. Like, this is truly the one of the most, if not the most fun run that we have had in sports in so long. And I will always be thankful for that. And of course, I go back to what I've said in the last couple weeks. No matter what happens in Omaha, I will be satisfied with this season. Satisfied with the way or with the direction that the program is going. And I do still feel that way. Even though it is tough, as John Reed mentioned before we went on air, they're making me test that a little bit. But yeah. Nonetheless, man, it is an incredibly satisfying season, and it is an incredible step in the right direction. But as we've been saying, just got to lock down that next piece, man. But really, what an amazing time it's been to be a Tennessee fan. And I will never forget this run.
Well, I asked what we would be talking about if not for the team, and I think the answer is probably not much.
No.
We wouldn't be talking about much, and I think true apathy would begin to set in. And I'm of the opinion that Tennessee fans will come back to this football team no matter what. I think that, and it might not be a month of July. SEC Media Days might not kick off a wave of anticipation, and they might not be back for the start of fall camp and all that stuff early August. But I think a week or two before kickoff, when we start talking about Thursday night in Neyland Stadium in a new era, and we're going to throw it around and all that stuff, I think fans will get up for it. Not like they did back in the day, and nobody's expecting this to be a championship team, but it is Tennessee football, and I think they will come back. But, man, it would have been – this month would have been brutal in particular, because it's – you know, June is always – it's the month when everybody likes to go on vacation, people like go to the beach and all that stuff, and we've been able to – have a real sport to talk about. And yeah, there's been the off the field, you know, will he stay, won't he stay, what are we going to do with the stadium conversation, but we've actually talked about the games and broken them down, and man, what's the pitching matchup going to be, this guy's in a slump, what do you do here in this situation, how many games can we win, what constitutes success in a road series at Texas A&M, like all these cool conversations that quite frankly, we've only had in basketball the last 10 years. We're actually talking about the games and the sport. We just don't have those conversations in football much anymore. We got to have them regularly for the past 2 or 3 months with this baseball team. And, man, I personally just so grateful to Vitello for you know, having that kind of presence and putting that season together and being so accessible and all that stuff, and it's pretty cool because we absolutely needed it, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There's so many moments that you can look back from this season, and they were just incredibly great moments, whether it was Evan Russell's 3-home run game with the grand slam against Vanderbilt, whether it was Drew Gilbert's walk-off home run. I mean, I know that, dude, how many people, including myself, and that's just kind of the memory that I go off of, got to have like a great moment with their dad or with their mom or a brother or a sister or just a friend at the ballpark this season. Russell, I know that, you know, your son was kind of going through Little League baseball for the first time during the whole time. Baseball's just a fun sport, and I'm glad that this city got to feel that at its absolute peak.
Yeah, I mean, not to make it about me, but if I can make it about me for a second.
Sure.
Like, I kind of fell in love with the sport again this year. Baseball was always my favorite sport growing up. Even in the 90s when Tennessee football was so good, I was a baseball guy, man. I was the kid who came home and watched the Cubs on WGN after school and then would fall asleep listening to the Braves on WLIL every game. Not occasionally, every single game. And just
played it, lived it, sleeped it, breathed it. And after college, work, you know, and I just sort of let it go, man. I just let it go and stopped paying attention pretty much altogether over the last 10 years. And so, like, for this spring to be able to reconnect with the game, man, the national pastime on a personal level with my kid playing crazy 6-year-old baseball,
it's awesome.
Like herding cats, and then watching this team, like, it's been cool, man.
Yeah, man, that would be the one thing. I'm sad. Not, you know, he stays, we can make it to Omaha again next year. I think the sky's the limit with Coach Vitello. I don't know it'll just be a different kind of fun, but I don't know if it'll be as fun as this one was, the first one, when you're really kind of not expecting it. And the ride just been just really fun. But, I mean, this team will always have a special place in my heart. I've loved the hell out of watching them. They got some really unique personalities, and I've enjoyed the hell out of the season. I wish it had ended differently, but, you know, that's life.
Do you think this run meant more or as much as the Bruce Pearl Elite 8 year?
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
Because the Bruce Pearl Elite 8 year was when Tennessee fans really started believing and, you know, made it up, really believed it in our hearts that, you know, we belong in the Elite 8. We belong in the Final Four. We belong in the College World Series. Not saying every year, but we definitely should be in the conversation every year about whether or not we're going to make it to Omaha. There's no reason in the world for Tennessee to not be hyper-successful in football, basketball, baseball, quite frankly, track, and probably women's basketball. But we'll see if they ever get that fixed.
I mean, what it's going to take to get there is just continuity. You need continuity through the leadership of the, you know, of
Danny
the
Nonux
University
needs
of Tennessee.
To get his name on that contract quick.
Now.
Like yesterday, honestly.
Yeah, let's get it done. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break right here. We will open it up for phone lines. A couple lines available if you want to jump in right now. 865-546-8200. A quick word from our sponsors, without whom none of this would be possible. We appreciate them. Show them some love. A couple of messages, and we're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive rages on. Special Overdrive edition. Take you up to around 7 here. A couple lines available if you want to jump on. 865-546-8200. Tennessee's baseball season comes to an end tonight as Texas defeats the Volunteers 8-4 in Omaha. The Vols 2-done in the College World Series.
Does it make it worse that it was Texas, Russell?
No.
I mean, literally, there's only a couple things I've ever liked out of the state of Texas. One, I'm sitting here. Next to us.
That's big.
It's I know where you're coming from, the whole orange and the tees and all that stuff. And the
they wouldn't be a state if it wasn't for us.
But think about it this way. Think about it this way.
I hate them.
I would much rather lose to Texas than an SEC team. I'm so glad that none of our rivals got to have the last word. And they could take their shots. Oh, 2-done. All that stuff is like, yeah, where were you? Where were you, Arkansas? Where were you, LSU?
Home.
Where were you, Florida?
Home.
Where were you, Ole Miss?
Home.
Like, there's nothing they can say. They got nothing on us, man. And it would have sucked to lose to anybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, I'd rather lose to a team that was a stud, a powerhouse, than even like a team that's really hot right now, like NC State. You know, who might go out there and win the whole damn thing. But, yeah, I don't have a lot of shame in losing to a very talented, highly ranked team.
I mean, I would even say, I was thinking about this on the way over too, like if we become that program and we never win it all in Omaha, but we get there a couple of times, I'll be fine with it. If our future is just dominating the league and winning a bunch of SEC championships and just sticking it to Vandy and Florida
and Mississippi State and A&M and all of them, man. Georgia, just beating them every year and being the Degeneration X of the SEC, rubbing their noses in it, you know, just walking the dog. If that's what it is and we never hoist the big one, I'll be okay with that too.
Yeah. It's like Steve Austin. How many times did Stone Cold need a championship? He didn't get it that often because he didn't need it. It's like Tennessee. We don't need it. We just need to be dominant in a powerhouse. And we got some rabid fans who won't ever leave.
I'd love to just run the SEC for about 20 years in baseball and just be the team. This is our league. Doesn't matter what happens after the season, but we're going to – you don't come into Lindsey Nelson Stadium and waltz out of there with a W.
Just backhand everybody, just right across the face.
Yeah, and we'll come
the hell out of here.
We'll come in your house. We'll walk up in your kitchen, make a sandwich, throw the cheese wrapper on the floor, eat it, throw the crust on the floor too, and walk out the front door. You pick it up. We'll disrespect this house. I'd be fine with that too.
Well, your wife might be riding shotgun with us on the way out too.
So, It's a tough pill to swallow, man. On a day when Dallin Hayden commits to Ohio State, missed on another Hayden kid, Bear, the good one too, the one he's been telling us for like 5 years is going to be the best of them.
He started telling him this kid was like in short pants in fourth grade, and Aaron's coming on the drive talking about him, like Aaron, and like I've seen Chase tweet out about him. I mean, yeah, he's.
At least didn't go to another SEC team.
No. And you know what? I hope he does incredibly well as long as he, you know, as long as they're not playing Tennessee. But I hope the young man does incredibly well, and congrats to him and Aaron and his wife.
And maybe once we emerge from this NCAA disaster, whatever it is, And if Josh Heupel can show a prolific offense in his first year or two, maybe Dallin will come home.
I mean, that's the thing now. We got
– doesn't have to sit out
a wild, year. Wild west.
Come home.
I thought about it last night. You know, me and you have been talking, and we've talked about it. You know, three of us have talked about it on the show about it basically being like the NFL free agency. It's really beyond that. It's total – there's no contract.
It's like if the NFL – it's like if the Titans could look at the Panthers roster and be like, oh, we like that guy, but you're not a focal point. Why don't you come over here and play for us? Okay.
You can just cherry pick.
It's weird, man.
It's going to completely ruin college sports probably. But what do you do? The NCAA and the greed heads, you know.
Yeah, jump in and swim.
You're like the captain of the Titanic. They haven't seen this iceberg coming.
My hope, my prayer is that we are able to capitalize this and use it to our advantage to, and we talked about this a little bit with Withrow, is to somehow, some way, use what happened with the Supreme Court yesterday, use all the uncertainty that's going on with the NCAA to wriggle off the hook for the Pruitt disaster. And then not only that, but also use the new transfer rules and lack of restrictions there to hit the accelerator button and not have to go through, oh, you got to give him 3 or 4 years to get his guys in. Like that whole thing is like, no, let's just go get – we're bringing in 10 transfers, maybe 11, if Caron Prunty decides to commit to Tennessee this weekend. Just do it again next year. Bring in another dozen transfers, guys that you know can play, that you have D1 film on. Bring them in, and let's just excuse me, and let's just flip this roster quickly and get back quickly.
In support of Heupel, and I'm not saying I'm getting woolly or anything, but I think he's the first coach out of the last three that we've had that hasn't come in here and act like from the outside looking in, the way he's worked the portal. I think he's very well aware that he may not get three. You don't necessarily get 3 years in college football anymore. You got to start stacking it now.
Yeah, and I also feel like, for the most part, Coach Heupel has been It's hard to say maybe here a little bit because Pruitt didn't do too much, right? He was not too vocal or anything like that. But this has been a guy who's just going to come in, has done his job, has not done too much outside of things or too much that people can pick at or pick into. Like with so many of Danny White's comments so far, he's just come in, he's done his job, and we'll see what happens next. But I at least appreciate that.
Just saying.
Accusing me of being hype for Heupel?
I'm just saying.
Is that where you're going with this?
You got the Pitt game. That's the swing game, right?
Yeah, one of them.
You're going to beat Bowling Green. You beat Pitt. You're going to beat Texas Tech. You're 3-0 headed to the Swamp. Okay, you take your medicine down there. It's Florida, whatever. You got a road game at Mizzou. It's Missouri, right? I mean, it's no cakewalk, certainly, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that Tennessee could beat Missouri on the road.
You're talking yourself into
South
it.
Carolina comes in here. They're terrible, man. We should beat South Carolina at home. They don't have anybody. And then all of a sudden, what? You're 5-1. 5-1. We haven't been 5-1 since 2016. And Lane Kiffin and his no defense playing Ole Miss team is going to come in here. We'll have a 70 to 60
game. Yeah, so I was going to say, that game could easily be like 81 to 76.
You win that game. You're 6-1, headed to Tuscaloosa? Are you kidding me?
To get waterboarded by Nick Saban and his crew?
Okay, so what? Who cares?
I mean, going to Tuscaloosa with this team, I imagine, is what it'd be like if you're a member of Al-Qaeda landing in Guantanamo.
So you're 6-2 at the off week. We would all take that right now.
Then who's pulverizing us next?
We've got an off week, and then we go up to Kentucky. Those meth-addled freaks.
No,
we walk up there and slap them around, reassert our dominance, send those toothless, slack-jawed yokels back to the coal mine.
Get in there.
Back to the coal. Get in there, yokel. Get in that coal mine. We send them back there. We're 7-2. We're 7-2. South Alabama, 8-2. We're freaking 8-2 with Georgia coming to town. Can you feel me, Rick Butler? Can you feel me?
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
I'm just saying.
It could happen.
What's more likely to happen? Lose to Pitt, get edged out by South Carolina, get pulverized by Alabama.
No. We are not losing that South Carolina game. They are terrible. Just awful.
Get shredded by Mizzou.
That's
Kentucky
more likely.
Kentucky embarrass us again.
Missouri game's kind of scary.
I don't know. But I'm saying, I just think that he's given me a little bit of, not hope. He appears to be doing his job.
Reason to stave off sports suicide for another year.
Yeah, I mean, basically. The whole portal thing has impressed me that he's been active. And then it'll come down to just whether or not we'll find out how good he was at evaluating what was in the portal. Hopefully he's pulled some diamonds out of there that nobody else really thought about or saw. Maybe he saw something in some of these kids.
Man, I was going through the roster the other day, and, I mean, you got 10 transfers already. I'd already forgotten about some of them. Like, I saw some of the names, and I'm like, who is that guy? And it's like, oh, yeah, we got him like a month and a half ago. The linebacker from Michigan, Mohan?
Yeah.
I saw his name the other day, and I was like, Mohan? Like, who is that? Oh,
Who was he?
That was the Apache.
I was talking with Trey last night, and he asked me, I was like, who the hell was Amari McNeil, this kid that was in the car with it was actually his weed with Salter.
So he was that was like the last guy Pruitt took in the last signing class.
Before he got cashiered.
Yeah, they took a flyer on him. He is the proverbial, I think he was a two-star offensive lineman, defensive lineman from Georgia. And, like, we were by far his best offer. But, it's not like you lose him and all of a sudden, devastating loss there or anything. But, I mean, look at us. Look at us breaking down the football roster
on the drive. Probably a good point to go ahead and start to wrap things up, don't you think? All right.
I'm sorry, I got a little tuned out. Yeah. ESPN's running a dog of the day segment right here.
Oh,
look
the
at
silly
look
season.
At this dog.
You got to love summer.
Yeah. Suns There's not much to talk about.
That Suns and Four guy is like a local celeb. Did you see him and the people coming up taking pictures with it? And he's loving it, too. He's not one of these guys like, I never wanted to be famous. He's just eating it up, man. He's like, yeah, come on down.
Here's my Venmo.
I wonder what happened last night. I saw somebody on Twitter, a Tennessee fan, or it may have been on one of the message boards that I frequent, that ended up sitting behind the whistling guy. You have the slick back white hair. Wonder what happened there.
Fight him?
I mean, I would have. Somebody had a really good suggestion for him. You know, if you end up behind that guy, have a plastic, you know, like a whistle, like a referee's whistle. Just every time he goes to whistle,
awesome.
Just blast him with it.
No right artificial noisemakers. They probably come and take your whistle away, wouldn't they? You shut that guy up, man. Will you guys watch any of the College World Series now that we're out of
here? I'm gonna hate watch. I will. Rooting for Texas, or rooting against Texas, rooting against Vanderbilt.
Who do you root
for? Kind of rooting for NC State.
Yeah, me too. They're a fun team.
Wolfpack.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the I don't know.
Go with the Wolves.
Nah.
They're fun.
I'm going to go with Stanford. Smart kids.
They play Vanderbilt in a loser-go-home match.
Vandy boys.
We are the Vandy boys.
Stanford and Vanderbilt.
Be dork central at Omaha that game.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Future
Vanderbilt,
bosses of America.
Vanderbilt lost 1-0 last night, right?
That's correct.
Whew, baby.
Yep. That was a good game, man.
Yeah, it was.
So you guys will be watching the College World Series.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it like I did.
I'm going to go out of my
Tennessee,
way to see,
but I'll
keep
track.
How much are we
going to
talk about it here on the show?
Zero.
Okay, I probably won't watch too much.
Unless something just funny happens to Vanderbilt that causes him to lose, or the whistling guy, like somebody busts his jaw.
Oh, that'd be great.
We'll cover that wall to wall. Might go down and hang
out. Put a bounty out on the Vandy Whistler. $100 to anybody who
just goes and
breaks this dude off
clock.
A two-piece and a biscuit.
Got to be careful saying that. Some of our listeners are do a lot of
They'll
things.
Take $100.
Really, don't assault anybody, please, Fan Run listeners, you knuckleheads out there. Please. All right, boys, some parting thoughts. It's been a hell of a ride, Tony Vitello, as we close out this Drive/Volunteer Reaction. Had a chance to do a couple of these, mostly in basketball. Today was – I wish I could say it was fun. I don't know. It was not fun to watch that game. Both of those games were like a three-hour root canal. But now that it's over, I mean, I do think it's important to have some perspective and reflect on what was really a magical season.
It really was. I am definitely, you know, thankful for – again, and this kind of came in a perfect time, right? When we were getting out of COVID. We all really wanted to be outside. We wanted to be doing something else. I know basketball was fun, but, man, it's June. We got our summers ripped away from us last year. We wanted to get outside. We wanted to be a part of the community together. And Tennessee baseball is the one thing that gave us that ability. I'm very thankful that Tennessee baseball gave me the chance to see a game with my dad. Didn't think that was going to happen. I'm thankful that I got to go with my friends. So what a season. Disappointing ending. But, hey, we'll be back next year.
I mean, for me, I mean, pretty much everybody that listens to our show, you know, kind of knows what's been going on with me on a personal level.
Yeah.
And it's been a welcome distraction. I've had something to watch all spring and kind of help keep my spirits up, to be honest, Russ. So, I don't know. I love these guys. I like them because they would rather fight than like eat or drink or go out with girls or, you know, play baseball. And they just appear to be likes to fight guys. And I kind of like that from the top down. That Kivett guy now, Kivett's a personal favorite of mine now. What the hell is going on with that guy's earlobe?
You can lip read on him.
Oh, yeah. What he was saying over there.
Tony Vitello, when he was like trying to get him to calm down while he's talking to the ref, he looked like me trying to get you to calm down, where it's like he's kind of like laughing. It's like it's kind of funny, but he's like, dude, like you need to chill. And he's like, oh, I can't control this guy. I just got to let him go now. You brought this on yourself, dude.
I mean, that's what happens when you're a high motor person and funny at the same time. I don't know. Would you? I wouldn't want to take one from Vitello, though. Do you imagine?
Oh, right hook?
No, just the verbal.
Oh. Oh, no. Because
he's
no.
always so
Hell
nice
no.
when he's on with us, Russ. Wouldn't you like to hear what it sounds like when he's not happy about something?
That's the really interesting thing about his personality to me is where – and a lot of guys have that where, you know, they flip the switch when they get on the field or whatever. But he's really interesting guy, man. Like his persona when we're talking with him on the show or you see him out, you know, walking to the – you know, signing autographs for the kids or something. But you see him in that dugout, man.
He's got one.
He's a steely-eyed competitor.
Yeah, he's locked in.
He would – push his own grandmother in front of a freight train to win that game.
There's very few people that have it. And when they have it, those guys like that are usually winners, like big time winners.
You think he gets it done, man? And we win a national championship?
If he stays here, yeah. I think this was a great year. And what I think will happen if he stays here, yeah, I think he won a national championship. And I think he'll look back on this year and realize, you know, maybe what we could have done to get a little bit further, but I don't think we were quite good enough to win it all this year.
No, I don't think so either.
One more small activity for me. I'm trying to go through a tweet right here. Some of the highlights of the season for me. Is there anything else that you would add? I have the legends of Lindsey Nelson taking over the world by storm when you swept LSU to start the season. Of course, Evan Russell's 3 home run game. Of course, Drew Gilbert's grand slam. And I have the 2 games following the Alabama loss in the SEC tournament. Those were massive. Run ruled 2 straight teams. And then, of course, you had the rest. But would you add anything else?
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
when I say
Gilbert, period.
Yeah.
Run the league. Like, run ruling people in Hoover.
God,
that was fun.
Awesome.
It was something I never really thought about before. It's like, man, that was sweet. Especially Alabama. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. Just wave it at him.
That might have been
make him lick the white dog poo.
I mean, the Drew Gilbert grand slam was obviously that was the highlight of the season. There's really not a close second.
Mm-mm.
Second might be sweet revenge on Alabama in Hoover after they basically stole, you know, did their Alabama thing, cheated us out of a game to just pound their eyes shut, leave no doubt, nothing you can do about it in front of your friends and family just humiliating you. You know who daddy is. Yeah, you know. Say
I mean,
it.
There's just tons of stuff.
I got to add that.
Beck's absolutely luxurious mullet. His flow.
Good one. I'm adding that. Beck's mullet.
Pete Durkay having a, you know, this was his 5th year and he was one of the most solid hitters and go-to guys that we had and was really over, you know, very underrated, I felt like, what his contribution to the team was. I don't know. Had a lot of good time. I mean, Cheese Dallas looking completely insane with those glasses.
Cheese's goggles.
I mean, he looks special, doesn't he? When he gets all crazy and wild-eyed, you want to talk about crazy eyes. I mean, what are you going to do when a guy in black horn rims with, like, his eyes, like a great white shark, just crazy-looking comes at you?
Yeah, that picture of him in the rain. Ooh-hoo!
You know, we asked the question a week or so ago, who are you taking with you? If you can take 2 guys off this team into a bar fight. And I think the unanimous answers were Gilbert and Beck.
No, I don't think I said Beck.
Chad Dallas. I don't think anybody brought his name up, but for me, it might be Gilbert and Cheese.
I like Beck still. Yeah, I like what you're adding there.
Beck's the guy that pulls you off of somebody before you commit a serious felony.
Oh, he's got a very Sam Elliott in Roadhouse type vibe to him.
Yeah, Gilbert.
He's wearing cowboy boots, and he's going to put that boot like right under your jaw. Just
crap. I don't know. You ask me, I'm taking Gilbert and Kivett. Those two. You can do some damage with those two. Just turn those two loose. I mean, it looked like somebody had gnawed off half of his earlobe. Did you not notice that he had some kind of crazy bandage on his ear? On his right ear.
Was it one of those earring things the basketball players wear?
No, it was a coach, Kivett. He had like some kind of white tape on his earlobe.
And those basketball, I know at Barnes when you see the team practicing, they all have like these weird on the bottom of the lobe. It's like covering an earring or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Is he still that old school? Old Ricky from Hickory. Good Lord. That's some Hoosiers type stuff right there, isn't it?
We'll practice without a ball.
Oh, God.
My team is on the floor. All right, boys. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for hanging out a little late tonight as we give you good 2 hours of quality content here, wrapping up a pretty amazing baseball season. This is what it's like to do overtime, huh? It's 7 o'clock, they'd still have another hour to
running
go.
Late.
All right, we're going to leave you with some Fox Sports national programming. Don't forget, we start bright and early tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. with 3 and Out, and we are live and local all day long until 8 p.m., and then we'll even have Outkick 360 out of Nashville for you as well. Fan Run Radio, be sure to tune in. Should have a lot more reaction coming your way tomorrow here on the station. For Bear and Rick and Matt Huckabee, I'm Russell Smith. Have a great evening.